Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
They like bring out each other's individuality more.
Right.
I feel like I don't, like, I don't know anyone. And I'm like the Obamas, maybe.
Right, yeah.
That's the only couple right. I could think of.
Welcome to Talking Ship Podcast. We discuss the best and sometimes worst of TV couples. Why they work.
Listen to Lizzo, Pam. Come on.
Why they don't.
I just don't think they belong together.
And how we relate.
I don't think Issa deserves him.
That's the moment that you see that David is in love with Patrick.
I must talk about Seth and Summer.
You may be in a Logan and Veronica situation if
I just like felt like yelling at the screen. Yes!
Let's talk ship.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Talking Ship Podcast, brought to you by the Believe Podcast Network. I'm Megan Fitzgerald, and I'm so excited for this episode because we're talking about an experience, I would say, that happens so infrequently now, which is a show that is appointment television viewing, which is, of course, the way that I think a lot of us that are Talking Ship listeners and big TV watchers grew up watching TV. It's a week-to-week release. I know so many people whose entire households will watch that show together. It's a show that we talk about each week as the episodes are released. And I think it's a show that we then theorize about and arguably talk about more obsessively than a show that we just binge all at once because we're with the show for weeks and weeks at a time instead of 4 days, which is the speed I binge a show at. And there's nothing we love more on Talking Ship than talking about something obsessively. And so I'm here to introduce two people that talk obsessively about things better than anybody I know. Mm-hmm. And we get a bonus this week because we have two co-hosts, a whole coaching team, a beard and a Roy, if you will, but no Nates.
Who is who?
Well, I would say, well, first we have Cap Elinfante, who would I would say probably is my Roy.
Oh, yes! And fucking yes!
I get that. You know, I get that. Whatever. I think it's,
this game is rigged.
It's because we're both Jewish, okay?
Yeah, and it's because I would get the solo episode that no one wanted.
Okay, and we have JP Maddock here as representing Beard. It's because you would have a night that chaotic.
True, in fact,
you have.
Probably.
Haven't you had nights? Haven't you lost your wallet? I feel like you've had nights where
100%.
And probably ended up braving in a church.
Yeah, I mean, that is straight from my diary. They took the whole plot straight from my diary. I'm actually in the middle of a lawsuit with them.
And he's a co-writer, so you know.
Right.
And you're a writer,
JP. He's a co-writer. I think,
well,
is
so is Brett, actually.
Oh, yeah, and Brett.
Isn't that how he got the part?
Yes.
Yeah.
So we're all really important,
we're
basically.
All really important here, and we'll it takes a whole team. Do you
he
know...
Left. So
he's coming back.
What?
We don't know.
Oh.
No, Brett Goldstein did not leave the show.
Oh my God.
Breaking here at Talking Ship Inside Knowledge. Listen, I think we do have to talk. We have to kick this off by talking about Brett Goldstein, though, because I just think if he ever listens, if on the off chance that he ever listens, do you know the story about why I think that he and I are soulmates?
No.
Okay.
And neither do your listeners. This is perfect.
This is why I have to say this just right at the top because I also think it will impact all of my opinions about Roy is that everybody has to know this thing about me. Before I even started watching the show, I heard this interview with Brett Goldstein. And you guys know, because you went to the same acting school that I did, mm-hmm. in the technique of acting that we learned, sometimes what they teach you is you have to pick, if you are trying to endow yourself to a fictional person in a play or in a scene or whatever, choose one fact about somebody that would, if you're trying to be in love, you choose one fact about somebody that would make you fall in love with them instantly. Mm-hmm. And if I ever needed a quick fact, something I would go to in an instant is their favorite movie is Muppet Christmas Carol. That's like my go-to in any moment. If you tell me that's your favorite movie, I will be in love with you.
My eyes are wide open. That's not what I thought you were going to say. Nope. Out of all the movies that I've known you to watch and talk about, I don't think I've ever heard you talk about the Muppet Christmas.
Actually, well, you know, yeah. You know what? If you're not...
I do love that movie too, but I don't think I would...
Call it your favorite movie of all time? Well, then you're not me or Brett Goldstein, because yeah, on this podcast, he was talking about, he has a Muppets poster in his room, and every podcast interview he does, you see this Muppet poster, and they're talking about it like something, it comes off like offhandedly, and they say, people, you know, blah, 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 Muppets Christmas Carol, which probably is the greatest movie of all time, and I was running and listening to a podcast. This is where I brag about the fact that I run.
Are you on a treadmill or on the ground?
I'm on the ground. Okay. I'm on the ground. I'm on the bridge. I stop in my tracks
you
when
jump
I hear.
Off the bridge.
She is a water sign.
She is.
Yes, you. This episode brought to you by three water signs. Everybody, we're representing.
Yes.
It's his favorite movie, and then somebody sent me a TikTok of him singing all of the songs from Muppet Christmas Carol while doing stand up. So I just think, on the off chance that anybody who knows me and knows Brett ever wants to send him this episode, just know that, Brett, I see you. It is the greatest movie of all time. It is a national treasure. We're not talking about it enough. I see you. I hear you. And, you know, wherever you find love, it really does feel like Christmas.
Wow, that was beautiful.
Yeah, it's a joke for me and Brett, and none of you.
I was like, yeah.
Well, listen, I did DM him to do my stand-up show.
I know.
Has he read it? No, yeah. But, you know, shoot your shot.
Exactly.
And so maybe he'll sing the Muppets thing.
And then I would stand, Pat, and I would sing with him, and I'd make it all about me.
And this is how good of a friend I am, because I
exactly.
really want to book him for you.
Right.
So that you have this
right.
opportunity.
Then he would slowly realize by the end of the performance that all the doors have been locked. He cannot leave.
There's a single spotlight on Megan.
Yeah, there's a single spotlight on Megan and spotlight on him. Everyone has been escorted quietly out, and the doors have been locked. And there's just a projection of the movie playing with popcorn.
That,
next to the
and
two
I was
front
like,
seats.
I
and
took
you're
you
like,
on my...
should we watch? Shall we?
You're like, Brett, I'm like, Brett, I set this up just for you and me.
He's like, this isn't weird at all.
Oh.
He does have a girlfriend.
You know what?
So sorry.
A lot of people did.
Yeah.
At some point.
Never stopped me before. Anyways, today we're talking about Brett Goldstein, but mostly we're talking about Ted Lasso and all of the relationships in Ted Lasso. We're just going to hit all of them at some point.
Yeah.
But I think let's just start by kind of each giving like our 2-minute takes on the show in general, okay. and maybe like our experience of watching it and how we watch it and how we relate to that and all that.
You can go.
Go ahead, JP.
Yeah.
And mine will be quick and easy. I think it's really funny that this is probably like our first sports related.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Sports and
this is like the most about sports that I've ever watched.
Same.
This felt like Remember the Titans. But like if Remember the Titans had a miniseries, but then like a comedy writer took over, it would be Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like it's the antithesis of Girls.
Huh.
Like, I feel like the main character is so lovable that I'm like, I don't want good things to happen to him because I think it's going to be funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like with Girls, I'm like, oh, I hate you so much. I don't want good things to happen to you. Just
also
period.
Because I think it's going to
be funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's just, and it's kind of like when Girls came out, we had Obama and presence, right?
Yeah.
I think so. So we were all like, yay, Obama! And then you needed someone, like, evil on TV. Not evil, but misunderstood.
Anti-hero.
Anti-hero. Yeah. And then Trump was in office when Ted Lasso came out, so...
And it came out something I think, like, I didn't totally appreciate about the timing of it because I watched it more recently. The show premiered October 2020. Like, kind of in... The midst of everything.
The midst of everything.
Like a month before the election. Like, I mean, at that
was
point.
Like Vice President, the fly on the head.
Yeah. That was wow. And actually, probably pretty comedic parallels to Fly on the Head.
Yeah.
But this show is the opiate of the masses, as my roommate would say.
It is.
I feel like it's like comfort food, but it's like if comfort food was like healthy,
right?
You know, where it's just like I need to go watch this, but it's gonna nourish me and it's not gonna make me feel like shit after.
I feel like I worked out after I watched it.
Me too. It feels like an emotional. I feel like this show is what's gonna take down the patriarchy. Absolutely. To be honest.
Yeah.
And like toxic masculinity.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Toxic masculinity.
Because
so toxic.
Because it is for everyone.
It won't even come out of my mouth.
I'm so disgusted by it. Because everybody watches it. Like, this is the first show in so long that when it comes up on the podcast, people will be like, what shows are you talking about? And I can tell straight men that I'm talking about Ted Lasso, and they can be engaged and, like, and have opinions about all of it. Like, the relationships are probably the lesser thing you have opinions about in this show, but the relationships are still a huge part of it, and this show appeals to so many people that I think it gets the masses to think about things they wouldn't normally think about, like mental health, like anxiety, and like some of these like very interesting relationships that bring up big questions. So I think like that's the benefit of it being for the masses and the benefit of it being comfort food.
Yeah, I feel like if we all lived in like the world that Brené Brown poses to us, it would be this world.
Yeah. And that's why they're obsessed with her and she's obsessed with them. Yeah.
So, let's talk about that relationship.
Oh my God. And they bring up Esther Perel too.
Yeah. Okay. So this show feels like sometimes it was like made so specifically for me because they used the same Esther Perel quote that I used on my podcast.
Yes.
And they used that same episode, the same song that I put on my yoga playlist that week.
Do you think one of the writers follows you?
Probably. Like, honestly, probably listens to Love Criminal. Go and check it out.
Yeah. And then also takes your Bikram yoga class.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I do have a public.
It would make sense. We are in Brooklyn.
I have a public Spotify profile, so it totally checks out.
We'll see it. The amount of British people I know who live in Brooklyn, too many.
You're correct. Yeah.
Not too many.
Please move more of you move here.
I love the accent.
Yeah, yeah. But it also is like, yeah, for the masses, it's the first sports show I watch. Like
same.
Legit hooked up with a Kyle because he said he played Division I soccer.
Yeah, and you're like, and I know what that is.
Oh man, come home.
Yeah. Well, that's what's so like brilliant, you know what I mean? You like wrap up the show that actually is about interpersonal relationships and taking down toxic masculinity and like asking ourselves asking for forgiveness and asking for grace and all of these things wrapped up in a sports show. It's brilliant. We should just wrap all of therapy up in a sports show.
Yeah.
Maybe therapists should start calling themselves sports psychologists.
Coaches.
Or maybe all coaches should become licensed therapists, and then the world would be a better place.
Because
I think that's what Ted Lasso is presenting, is the world as a better place.
Right. Yes.
Especially the first season when it was filmed in the summer and you were like, oh God, everyone is so hot.
Everyone's so hot and happy. I think also, okay, because it is one of the most watched shows right now, and it's, as I was saying, like, appointment television, and people have more time to kind of, like, write about it and think about it, I think the show also gets a lot of, like, some negative feedback, too. And it just made me think, it honestly pisses me off when I read stuff about, like,
what is the negative feedback?
Like, that Ted's not realistic, and he's not actually doing the work of, like, undoing the patriarchy, and that, like, season two is not as good as season one. And, like, it just pisses me off because I think, as someone who loves comedy, and I think part of the reason, especially the three of us, really relate to the writing of the show is that it's written by comedy writers. It's written in, like, Jason Sudeikis has such a big, like, improv background. Like, some of these throwaway lines are, like, the way our friends talk to each other. Like, it's so good. And I think comedies are held to this unfair standard in that they're supposed to, like, be able to do everything. Especially, I don't remember the last time a comedy was under this much of a lens. Like, I think about the other most popular comedy that was, like, appreciated by, like, the masses and critics was probably Schitt's Creek. But nobody watched that week to week.
Not even until the end.
Yeah, exactly. So there wasn't the
time. It took a while to get there.
Yeah. So there wasn't, like, the time to, like, scrutinize it because they're similar worlds in that you're like, this world is ridiculous and I think I'm watching a comedy and I'm actually going to hear characters I really care about reveal these, like, very intimate truths and I'm going to feel better and want to be a better person and think differently about the world from watching these high-stakes, ridiculous characters in this world. But, like, it didn't get as much, like, scrutiny as I feel like Ted Lasso has gotten in some ways. And I was just like, not, like, high-stakes dramas. Like, Succession isn't going to make people need to feel good about themselves and make them laugh and be realistic and critically good. Yeah. Like, it's just unfair to put everything on a comedy. Like, I don't think anyone's walking around being like, yeah, I'm going to be just like Ted Lasso. No, you're there to like laugh and have a good time and then get these really like poignant moments of truth in the middle of laughing and having a good time. And that's like how it hits people harder that way sometimes.
And my male roommate, after I made him watch an episode of Ted Lasso, the next day was like, I think I'm going to go to therapy again. And he claims it wasn't Ted Lasso, but like it so clearly was.
You love therapy.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
If I could see culture move the needle in society in one way, I want to see Ted Lasso make more people go to therapy. That's it. That's all I want.
Yeah. That's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cheers to that.
I also think just like personally, I watched the show during like a very upsetting time and it was perfect and so comforting and so lovely. So I can't recommend it enough for watching during a dark time where you feel like everybody is the worst and won't go to therapy.
Correct. Yeah. The amount of times that I was like, I just need to go home and watch Ted Lasso to make myself feel better.
Yeah.
I just want to live in that world was a lot.
Yeah.
It was pretty much every episode.
It's a
this
nice
season.
World to live in.
It
yeah.
Really is.
Yeah.
Are we ready to dive into these couples? Let's start with, I think, the simplest one to talk about, but maybe still the one I have the most to say about. Let's talk about Keely and Roy. So I think let's start with defining the Keely-Roy relationship. What is a Keely-Roy dynamic? If you saw people in the real world and you're like, that's a Keely-Roy, what would that dynamic be? And then who are real-life Keelys and real-life Roys?
I feel like their dynamic would be, like, you know how there's that, like, funny thing that goes around the internet? It's like, hey, me and my friend just saw you from across the bar and we think you're really hot. And we, like, really love your vibe or whatever.
Oh.
Like, that would be, if I had guts, I would do that to a couple. And it would be that couple.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be like, I just saw you from across the bar and I think you're both so cool.
They're the couple you want to have a threesome with.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's spot on.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're like opposites, but in a way that complement each other so well. They both have such strong personalities.
Right, like at the beginning I just didn't see, I like didn't even see that them would get there until the auction when they see it too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was like, wow, that was great writing because I didn't think that was going to happen.
Well,
I thought she was going to be a problem.
Yeah.
And he was like the coach or something.
Mm-hmm. I think the dynamic is like, I think a Keely Roy moment would happen in someone's life when you've, because they're both like a bit older than the other like characters or like senior soccer players. So I think it's like when you get to that moment where you're like, I'm so sick of fucking everybody fucking this up. And then you turn around and it's the other person screaming that they are also so sick of everyone else fucking it up. And I feel like they've both just been through so much shit that they're like, I don't want to like, they have no resistance left to like play the games and do the bullshit. And so they're both like, I'm just going to clearly communicate. And like, and that's why it works. They both just been like fucked over so many times that they're like, all I can do now is just like be honest and be clear because I'm old enough that I don't want to do the bullshit anymore. And I think they're both very different, but they're both not bullshitters. And I think we see that their chemistry comes out of actually their ability to clearly communicate. And I think that's like, and I think sometimes it's the opposite. Sometimes it's like, oh, we have so much chemistry, but we can't communicate. But I think they just like communicate really well. And then they're like, oh, we have chemistry. And that's why I love the auction moment because he's just like, hey, he says, he's so clear like with his feelings and then communicates them to her where he's like, hey, don't muse me in your weird mind games. It makes me feel like an idiot. Don't do this. Here's how it makes me feel. And she's just like,
whoa.
And then she just goes, I'm sorry.
Right.
Like,
she
you're right.
She didn't
you're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ugh.
Yeah. She. Ugh. Hey, take accountability. Okay, I'm gonna take accountability.
And then he goes, "Thank you."
Yep.
And they just like make this eye contact of almost like, "What the fuck just happened? Did I just clearly communicate with somebody for the first time in 10 years?" Like,
yeah.
It's like that's their chemistry, and that's why it's like that's why I think it's such an amazing dynamic.
Oh, it is like truly goals. It's like probably my favorite couple on television right now.
Okay.
Is them. I mean, if we're talking about like where that moment is, like in season one. I feel like, you know, when you're friends with someone and they, like, are dating someone and you're like, wow, they actually, like, make all of those bad things about you that are, like, holding you back just disappear.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Like, become, you, like, blossom.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that if you were the mutual friend for both of them. You were like, whoa, I just saw that happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
But in a, like, non-codependent way where it's just, like, they, like, bring out each other's individuality more.
Right.
I feel like I don't, like, I don't know anyone. And I'm like, the Obamas, maybe?
Right, yeah.
That's the only couple I could think of.
At one point, it kind of was, like, Brad and Angelina, but, like, that apparently was never that. So we're learning.
Yeah.
Let's talk about who real-life Keelys are. Because I think a real-life Keely would be the friend that you're, like, who's dated so many pieces of shit, and then she comes in with somebody completely the opposite of who you thought she would be with, and you're like, oh my God, it wasn't like player A that you've been dating the whole time, it's option B. But like sometimes you see a friend meet somebody and you're like, it's that.
Yeah, weird.
And it's like, I never thought it would be that for you, but it's that for you.
Yeah.
And I think that's like, they aesthetically, like, well, aesthetically, they look good together because they're both really hot.
Yeah.
But just like, they are like opposites that you like wouldn't really think go together, but somehow do.
I feel like I know a lot of girls this way who are very talented, very smart, like very, like have so much going for them, but they put all of their energy into the person they're dating. And you're like, if you just put that either on yourself or someone who deserved it and bounced it back at you, it would work for you. But like, you're putting all of your energy in the wrong person.
Yeah, like she would do it like she, that's what we see her do with Jamie. She's like, she really wanted to fix him and make him this better person.
The locker
and like, And like eventually he's like, he says the thing we all wish that the people we try to fix would say, which is like, you did make me a better person. I want to be this person for you. But like, that's not where anyone like Keely should be spending their energy. And that's not where we want our friends spending their energy.
And because he didn't give that to her.
Right.
Like, ironically, like her dating Roy allowed her to focus on herself more.
Yeah. Okay. Before we get more into that specific dynamic, who are the real life Roys? Who are the Roys that walk among us?
Hang on. Yeah. I don't know, because I'd love to meet him.
I'd love to.
Like, if you know them.
Yeah, please, DM, talking ship the pod.
I feel like real life Roys are the guys who have won't change for anyone, have never changed for, like, any girl that they've dated, any person that they've dated.
Yeah.
And then, like, one person, and they, like, and they're, it's the person who's, like, quote, whipped immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You're right.
Who's like, I don't give a fuck about anybody else, and all of a sudden I'm going to read the Da Vinci Code on the couch because I'm just, like, in love with this person.
Yeah.
Instantly whipped.
I feel like Roy is the kind of guy that at a party, like, shows up. And you're like, you don't want to be here. Like, I can tell you're not really even here. And they just, like, stay there. And they, like, don't talk. And they just, like, look really brooding and really hot. But then that's it.
That's it. And that's how you know a Roy.
And, like, the Roys have that, like, one familial connection. Like, how he's, like, so close to his niece. Where you're like, nope, I see a heart in there.
Yeah.
You just need to figure out. Yeah.
You gotta find the niece. Whenever you think there's a Roy among you, you gotta find the niece.
Yeah.
Roy ever have, does he talk about having relationships?
He talks about how, like, oh, I had this girl that, like, stole my watch or whatever.
Yeah, but that feels kind of like a hookup thing, right?
I think they, like, make it seem like there's something about him, like, dating girls in the press, and, like, it seems like he's also did. It seems like, actually, they both dated a lot of people that have used them.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is, like, I think it's a surprising to both of them when it's as easy as it is, and it goes as smoothly as it does, and that's why, like, it's weird to me that I love them so much, because I'm usually such a fan of, like, the drama and the will they, won't they, and they really have one moment of one episode of, like, is this going to work or isn't it? And, like, we kissed and then he went away. And then, oh, my God, the scene in the
press conference.
The press conference room.
I mean, there are too many scenes to talk about.
I mean,
the scene where he comes home and tells her to, like, I mean, we're past into the relationship at that point. Yeah. Where he's like, play this video. And,
he goes down on her. I mean, the best scene.
That episode must have been written by a woman. I mean, there's just no way.
How? Like, when that happened, I was like, what?
Yeah.
The hell? If that had happened to me, I would have proposed. I would have been like,
immediately.
We have to get married.
Yeah.
You just let me, like, get off to you being emotional. What?
Yeah.
After, like, a whole arc of him, like, learning, and they're so willing to, like, learn for each other.
Yes.
And, like, and they both apologize so well. Like, when she's trying to get him to do the pundit thing, and, like, I identify, obviously, this isn't a shock to anybody, with Keely more than Roy, but I would be like, this thing would be so good for you, and blah, blah, blah. And then she brings it up at the dinner, and she calls him the next day. She's like, I feel so shitty. Like, I like used our fun night and trying to manipulate you into doing something, and that was shitty of me. Like, she takes as much accountability as he does, even though arguably he's the one that's more, like, quote, flawed because he's angry and how, like, doesn't open up as much.
I feel like they are just like examples on how to handle problems in relationships. Yes. Which we like haven't seen on TV because it's like, why would this be compelling? And it's like really fucking compelling.
Yeah.
It's prime great.
Example is when they have like this sexy Christmas.
Uh-huh.
And yeah. she like has this whole get up and he opens the door and then like Phoebe comes running in and mm-hmm. he's like, we can't have sexy Christmas. And he's like, God damn, you're so hot.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's perfect. That's all she really needed. She just yep. wanted to be told she's hot.
Right.
And she's also going to take care of this kid.
And then he rescheduled, which yeah. is key, man.
Really key.
He was like, great, sexy December 28th.
And then he really, like, amped it up when he did do it.
So. Yeah, yeah. And I think, like, they're just very, I think it's a good example of two people that are very different, that are willing to, like, bend for each other and not make it a big deal. It's not, like, a huge, like, compromise on who he is or who she is every single time they have to bend for each other. And I think in like a less well-written TV show would be like, you're trying to make me do this photo shoot and I don't want to do it, which is bullshit because like he loves her. And so right. yeah, he's gonna be a little grumpy about doing the photo shoot, but right. then he's gonna do it because he loves her. And then oh my god, and then he like gives her the speech about how great she is, and he calls her independent woman, which is a callback to the press conference scene. He's like, you with the fucking eyes, like I just it's so you're right, it's compelling to watch them learn
mm-hmm.
and to watch them learn quickly. I actually think is more like helpful for us as an audience because it just like normalizes
yeah.
being no drama about it. Oh, you want this thing for me, I don't have to like fuss over it that long, I'm just gonna fuss over it for like a few hours or a day and then I'm gonna give it to you. And like I just think their communication is unmatched.
Yeah, and the way they celebrate each other, I feel like mm-hmm. I just, without jealousy, where they're just genuinely excited for each other's wins.
Yeah.
Like, that's, like, what I, like, write in my little manifesting. I want someone who celebrates me, mm-hmm. like,
I
in my success. Yeah.
They kind of, like, unintentionally practice compersion, because, which is the opposite of jealousy.
Mm.
So, yeah.
What's this word?
Compersion.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so it's tell us more.
Yeah,
so,
wow. Well,
it's, like, the opposite
we're learning.
Of jealousy. It's, like, when someone is, like, oh, I just booked this thing. You wouldn't be like...
Mm-hmm.
That was a good Roy Growl. Yeah. yeah. He's auditioning for my role.
You'd be like, oh, wow, babe, that's amazing. Oh, I love that. Whatever. Mm. You're just like very supportive.
Yeah.
Like when... First boyfriend.
Jamie.
Thank you. I was like, I can picture him. I can picture the scene with the coffee.
I can picture the
headband.
And
he shows
up
to the house and they both have coffee and they like sit at the table. I was like, oh, there's going to be a fight that's about to happen. Like, Roy's mm-hmm. going to, like, say something. And mm-hmm. then he didn't. And
yeah.
I was like, he, like, trusted her. I also think that that comes down to, like, being like, I want you. So,
yeah.
like, if this is what it costs, then this is what it costs.
And even, like, later on in the end of season two, where, like, Nate kisses her, Jamie tells her that she loves her. He has that, like, weird 3 hours with the teacher, which when that scene started happening. And I felt with the flirtation with the teacher all season. And I was like, no. But then he just addressed it and was like,
yep.
I weirdly spent 3 hours with her teacher and she asked me if I was married and I just said no. That was weird. And then she says the thing about Nate and then she says the thing about Jamie. And like the thing about Jamie, it like that would take me 24 hours too.
Right.
Yeah.
Like that would piss me off. I'd be way pettier. Are we kidding? I'd be way pettier about it than
right.
than he was. But I think that you're right. That comes down to like, I trust you and
right.
I want to be with you.
Yeah.
So like there's some bullshit, like there's some things that are going to be hard, but at the end of the day, I want to be with you. So I'm not going to spend time on this like drama.
Yeah. And
because you're the most important thing.
And neither one of them was like, and I spent 3 hours with that teacher and I think I'm madly in love and I'm going to leave you.
No,
now.
Doesn't have to be anything more complicated
yeah.
than
and
that.
And it's not this like tit for tat. It's like this thing happened. Okay.
Yeah. And it's like a weird moment and they both have to think about it because that's realistic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it doesn't have to end the relationship because they named it so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is there anything that we do that makes us like have doubts about the Keely Roy relationship? Is there anything that we don't ship about it?
The only thing is the end. Well, my point earlier of like he helped her like discover her individuality
yeah.
to like this
yeah.
huge point where I'm
right.
like, my only thought is, does she need to be single for a chunk
right.
of time?
That's a good point.
I don't know. Like, I love them together. I want them to
end
up together.
There are 5 seasons. Season 3, she spends it single. By the end of season 3, he's already dating someone else. And she's like, actually, I'm ready to date you again. I'm mad in love. I can totally see that happening.
Yeah.
He comes back with a Spanish girlfriend. That'd piss me off.
That'd piss,
oh,
me, off
piss
too.
Me off,
unless he came back with a Spanish boyfriend. In which case,
I see what you're saying, but I kind of hope that they don't go in that direction. Because the
maybe
plot,
she just needs 6 weeks of it.
Just, well, and it's like the plot line of like the woman at the end of the day finding herself through the guy, but now she needs to go like spread her wings and be alone. Like, we've done that. That's the end of the OC. That's Summer and Seth.
Yeah.
That's the end of Gilmore Girls. That's Rory and Logan. Like,
it's a lot of stories.
It's a lot of stories of like, and it just kind of, sometimes it pisses me off that like, the plot line for a woman who's who maybe she finds herself through the guy, maybe she finds herself independently, but it's like now that she's found herself, she can't have it all. She can't have both, according in the writing of the television show.
Right,
it's like,
right.
It's like in order to be independent and have this career and discover herself, she can't also have the boyfriend. Right. Where like I actually trust that like Keely knows who she is. She's now just like owning who she is.
Right.
And I actually think that she could do that with a partner. And I just like, I understand the writing might be more juicy if they break them up for a while, but it's like the selfishly and not selfishly, like I kind of just hope they choose to instead show the plot of a man learning to support a woman on her journey into succeeding and becoming an independent woman and her rise to the top, like a Patti LuPone's husband.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Rather than being like, well, she needs space right now and I'm just going to give her space. Like, no, just like be there for her on the sidelines and do what he's been doing it so well that I'm like, I don't understand. It almost feels like they're like, oh, are they going to make it? And I'm like, yes.
Yes, they are.
Everything that you have
if
told us.
If they don't, we will be writing to Apple.
I will be writing to Jason Sudeikis myself.
Yeah.
I'd be like, I know it's a hard time for you.
Yeah. Dot, dot, dot. But, dot, dot, dot. Very mad. At you.
We need this.
There's just nothing in his behavior so far that has told us that he can't handle this. He had, yes, like at the end of the, in the finale, he has this moment where he does seem really insecure about it. It seems like he's questioning it. But like, so far, he's been able to work through all of that. And I think like maybe that will be a big part of season three is like Rory learning to be okay on his own. Like them as they work as a unit and as independent people. I don't know. I just much rather see that than another plot line of him like giving her space while she finds herself. Because I would love to see, again, in like taking down toxic masculinity, it would be nice to see a man be in relationship to a woman while she is more successful than he is.
Yeah.
I think that would be much more interesting than the
and
like
also
take
it
space.
Happens in today's world. I'm like, let's just end the trope on television.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I hope that's what happens. Mm-hmm. The ending was a little ambiguous.
I know.
But there was that clip. It's what's going to make us come back and keep watching.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just to make sure that they're still together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just check that
Jason.
Off.
Jason.
If you're listening.
Or Brett. You're still listening.
You're still listening.
And there's this, it reminded me of this quote from Abby Wambach, where she talks about like coaching from like the bench or like being a leader from the bench.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like Roy has stepped into that role in his career.
Right.
And like hopefully he can step into that role in his personal relationships.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm hoping for.
This and you know how we were just saying that like Roy really helped her become the independent woman that she is? Like she helped him become like not the independent man that he is, but like
not just dependent on soccer.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if not, he probably would have had a downward spiral.
100%.
And probably would just would have been like bad.
Yeah.
It would have been a very different story.
And maybe you could argue that like Roy still is dependent on Keely for like his sanity and happiness. And maybe like similar to how in this past season, it was Ted's mental health journey. Like maybe we will see a bit more into Roy's mental health journey and him like doing, I don't think they're going to be the same. It's going to be, they're not going to hit it on the head as hard, but
yeah,
I think
it
like.
It turns into therapy.
Yeah. It turns into in treatment.
Yeah.
But like, I think maybe we'll see Roy do a bit more like self-care rather than depending on her completely. Mm.
Yeah, that's true, because he does go to the Diamond Dogs in the season finale, and he's
very cute,
very cute. And just like, oh, sometimes we just talk about things and there's no answer. Cool.
You gotta woman up.
Yeah.
Oh, so good. Love the Diamond Dogs. Love Higgins.
That was in my stray thoughts.
Oh, okay. Just,
I love Higgins. That was pretty much the no.
Yeah. I just love it.
So much.
Should we get into the Rebecca relationship?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Relationships.
The relationships. Who are, do we know real life Rebeccas? Who are the Rebeccas that walk among us?
I think it's I don't think she'll take offense. Uh-huh. I think it's like a Hannah Her.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Just... Where it's like she's just like a boss ass bitch in like a male's world, mm-hmm. and like has been fucked over by so many men, but is like underneath all of that hard exterior is like such a loyal friend.
Yeah.
Right.
Such a like great boss and like mm-hmm. hard worker. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day does really want to find love. And isn't like insecure, is just like,
yeah.
do I want to make space for that? Because there's so much else in my life that's great.
And fulfilling.
And yeah. is fulfilling mm-hmm. that like, do I want to put myself into that like emotional headspace?
Yeah. Yeah. I think every group of friends has a Rebecca. I think like mm-hmm. in like a lot of people consider their best friends a Rebecca because you're like, you're such a boss ass bitch. Boss ass bitch is her goddaughter says or whatever. I think we all have friends that are boss ass bitches that we just want the best for, but have been fucked over so mm-hmm. many times that we're like, I understand why this is really hard for you.
Right.
But you deserve something so great. And that's why my husband Roy is like, you deserve something that makes you feel like you've been struck by fucking lightning. Yeah. He's like, he's fine. Just say it. Anyways, we all have Rebeccas in our life that deserve that.
Right. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm glad we had season one for her to leave the relationship that she was just in mm-hmm. and have her vengeful moment.
Yeah.
And then own it. Mm-hmm. And then by season two, we were starting into, this is me single. She got her groove back. And she yeah. was like mm-hmm. all trying. She was trying like the old things she was used to doing, which right. was like dating these guys who were just like not it.
Yeah.
And staying with them.
And the transformational power of friendship made her a better person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's talk about Rebecca's relationship. Should we just start with the Sam situation? I have a question. Did y'all think it was Sam?
No.
I thought it was Nate. I really, because I think Nate was on the same app.
Yeah.
And I was like, in my mind, I was like, oh, that'll be weird. That'll be kind of funny. Like, what a funny little duo. But I didn't really like where Nate was going in season two. So I was like, oh, I don't yeah. want it to be that for her. Unless she came in and he was like, oh, I've got to stop being so weird and
yeah.
controlling.
I thought it was Ted. The way they set up that rom-com episode, I feel yeah. like made it seem like it was Ted. And ultimately, like, I just can't help it. I want them to end up together.
I do too, and I kind of feel like they might be.
I do too.
But I feel like they both need to, which is, we'll get to Ted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they both need to do their thing yes. to come around.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so too. You
know, like, it's a season five, there's five seasons.
Yeah.
Are there? Do you know no. this? No.
Season three is in the bag.
Morgan know? Knows a lot of Brits yeah. in Brooklyn. Yeah, yeah. So.
I know all season the three is going to happen. They're not going to cancel it after season
Correct.
Three. So there's going to be a season four. And four is just an odd number to end a series on. So five.
It's got to be five.
It's going to be five.
That makes and a lot then, of sense.
Yeah. So like season three, Keely and Roy are not together, but they're back together by season four, working it out. Season five, it's their wedding. That's, you know, Schitt's Creek kind of thing.
Mm.
You know, mm-hmm. it is.
JP, make sure someone pays you for this.
Yeah.
Oh, very Shakespearean. It's a comedy. It has to end in a wedding.
It's actually a triple wedding. Because it's going to have Beard.
Beard and Jane.
No.
No.
They're on again, off again.
That would be the comedy button.
That would be
correct. You're right.
Unless they elope. Get someone else in there. I don't know who else it would be.
I bet we will. I bet we'll get a character.
We could. We have three more seasons.
We've decided. Us, the Apple execs, have decided. Wait, tell me why. I thought it was Ted because they have a cut where Ted is smiling at his phone.
Correct.
And then he puts it away.
Yes.
And my initial reaction was like, I've been like on and off about whether I want them together or not, because for a while I was like, oh, it's so obvious. Like I was like, I don't like, it's the two main characters. Right. Like I kind of just want them to have this like respectful friendship and like all this stuff. But then I saw that and I was like, now I kind of ship it. Cause that's sweet. If he is this like person for her. But then I had heard from someone, they were like, something will get revealed to you in a way that you'll never see coming. And then I saw that Ted thing and I was just like, this boy thought that I wouldn't see this coming. You think I'm not clocking every time a man smiles at his phone on this show? And then I was shocked.
I kind of felt like that was, what is it called when you, in like a murder mystery, where they like pretend, like,
oh, the red herring.
Is that what it's
called? Yeah, yeah, it is. Yes.
I kind of felt like that was
that the red was herring. Red herring.
Correct.
Because I was like, that's too easy. Like, we're all, like,
I was like,
Keely and Rory are hot and sexy and good. If you guys become hot and sexy and good, then it's gonna be too hot.
Yeah.
And then we're just like having to download porn. Yeah. Like that's what Apple TV is now turning into.
Yeah, there's Ted Lasso.
Season three, now you know
there's Ted Lasso porn out there.
Oh, I'm sure there is. I'm sure.
It's actually probably specifically Sam and Rebecca porn.
Yeah.
I mean, hot. All of them.
Yeah. So let's talk about the Sam and Rebecca situation. Do we ship it?
For the moment, I think they had a really nice moment together. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to work long term.
Yes. I feel like the way when you see two friends hook up, you're like, see them flirting at a party and you're like, ooh, are they about to do that? And we're all like, oh no. And then we're all like, and then it happens. And then everyone's like, I'm so happy for them.
Yeah.
I'm so happy. And then deep down inside, you're like, oh, I hope, really hope this does not divide us all.
Yeah.
That's what I keep thinking in my mind. Is that I'm like, I feel like this is not going to end the way that we... Like, you guys are going to want it to end.
Yeah.
And then I feel like there's going to be drama between...
I know. And I love both of those people.
And
individually.
I really love so how much. Sam has, like, blown up into, like, a big character in this.
Yeah, totally. Like, and I think he's so lovely. And I think I think both of them, every step of the way, have handled the situation kind of perfectly.
Right.
Yeah. I think it was, like, very bold of him to be like, nope, Rebecca, let's just, like, we're both at this restaurant.
Yeah.
Like, we just happen to be here. Let's just have dinner. Like, I think she was so clear
which
in her
hot.
Feelings. Which is hot. Clear in your feelings.
Oh, my God.
Let's give it a shot. That blue suit, all hot.
Yep.
So I think they've handled it perfectly so far. But I think, like, in seeing, and, like, obviously I'm glad everything with the soccer team in Morocco didn't, like, work out because that guy was... ridiculous, but I think there is something to be said. Like, this isn't like a 15-year age gap. This is
yeah,
it's got to be 20 years.
Like, probably mid-40s.
Yeah. I mean, she looks amazing.
She looks so good.
She's the most gorgeous woman I've ever seen.
Do you know that she was the girl in Game of Thrones, the one who goes, shame, shame,
what?
Shame. Yes, isn't that so good?
How did I not know that?
When I found that out. I actually have not fact-checked this. My friend told me this, and I feel like we should do that now.
Absolutely.
But if that is the truth, then I... Oh, it's my favorite fact.
Wait, we have to look this up right now.
Look up her IMDb.
Game of Thrones. She is! What a glow-up.
What a glow-up.
Wow.
Shame!
Incredible.
And I have to say it's justice for her because, have you heard her... I didn't put it together that it was her, but there's this interview, like, there's a waterboarding scene in Game of Thrones where, like, she describes that scene as, like, being awful. She was like, yeah, I was basically waterboarded for, like, the 6 hours that we filmed that scene.
Oh, my God.
So look at her now.
Wow.
Getting to fuck a 21-year-old on TV.
Yeah, it works. If you want what Rebecca has now, get waterboarded.
Oh, my God.
They are, like, a perfect, I don't know, like... She's not really a rebound for Sam, but if we, like, change the definition of rebound, like, we have this definition of rebound. It's like, oh, like, someone fucked me over, so I just need to go, like, hook up with a fuck boy and just, like, you know, like, have this, like, get my, like, sexy groove back. And, like, no, what if, like, a rebound was, like, what they are to each other?
Right.
Where they, like, expand each other. They're really nice. They have this, like, nice little chunk of a relationship.
Right.
But I do think
ultimately
they are meeting
work.
Each other where they're at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They are.
And they are giving each other, like, I feel like she expands his confidence in a way. Because of, like, their relationship, he was able to be like, no, I'm going to do, like, what's best for me and my journey. And, like, he really, like, comes on his own.
Right.
And, like, because of him, she's like, yeah, I do deserve something that's really great.
Right.
And I am going to express my feelings.
Yeah.
And, like, live in this moment where, like, this is what I want. And I'm going to tell you what I want, which she couldn't always do.
Yeah.
I just think at the end of the day, the reason I bring up why the age difference being so large is that I think we see in that episode where, like, Sam has this opportunity, this huge opportunity to, like, be on this new soccer team is that, like, at 21, you do still have so much of your life ahead of you.
Right.
Yeah.
And, like, there are so many opportunities for, like, if he wants to continue and... If he, like, he's a real person, but, like, if Sam, like, wants to continue in football or if he wants to, like, you know, become more of an activist. So at 21, there's still so much life to live. And it's one thing if you're dating somebody at a similar age that would go and, like, go around the, who's also figuring out what they want and could do these things with you. But, like, Rebecca has everything else in her life figured out. And she likes her life. We know that because she doesn't sell the club, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, I think ultimately I want him to be able to have more expansive opportunities. And I think this will just will be, like, lovely while it lasts.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if there's going to be any mirroring between what her ex how her ex would date like younger girls. And like this will be, I'm curious.
That's interesting. If it goes public, I wonder, yeah. I'm sure there will be some kind of like coming out with that. So then ultimately, like what are Rebecca predictions? Do we think it'll be Ted in the end?
That's what I would like.
I think so too.
The moment we're outside of the club after she sings and she goes and checks on him, like that was just like, that moment is like so imprinted in my brain. Same. Of just like, because also like you've seen him be like so sweet and genuine to her all the time. Mm-hmm. And then that's like one of the first moments where you see her just like really care for someone.
Yeah. And do it for him.
Yeah.
And I feel like the only person that she would probably get like mad jealous if like she was with someone to like hook up with would be Sassy, and he's already done it. So I feel like that's like, oh, you already checked that box off. We didn't have our thing going on. So by the time we did it, that was a thing in the past.
But I also wonder, like, if they do put them together, like, I wonder if that will be a tension with Sassy, or if Sassy and Ted really start dating, and that's what makes Rebecca jealous. The moment that imprints for me is when she's giving the speech at her father's funeral.
Oh, and he's...
And she... Well, it's, like, even before that, she just, like, locks eyes with him.
Yeah.
And then, like, settles. And then she starts singing, and he's the first one to start singing, and that's obviously lovely. My only counter-argument is to play... Whatever. I'm not even going to say to play devil's argument. My only thought, other thought that I had, we was at us the other day, and we were like, the devil has too many advocates here.
I heard about this,
But I also had a thought of like, maybe this is also a really good argument how like a romantic partner cannot fulfill every need that you have. And like, right now it's clearly, you know, she's got, I mean, Sam's emotionally supportive in all these great ways, but she has Sam for like one part and Ted for another Keely for another. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's this like great opportunity about how your like community fills you out. And like, it's unfair to put all of needs and expectations on one person because like maybe Ted couldn't do everything for her, but maybe he will be able to, I guess we'll see. I think I was just like resistant to it because it just felt too obvious. But now they've played it out for so long that if it happens in the right way.
They dangled it just a little bit. Right. And so now we're like, wait, actually we do want the tree.
Yeah.
And we're like, no, I'm full. Now we're like, I'm starving, please.
You took Keely and Roy away.
If they take Keely and Roy away, I will say I probably will need Rebecca and Ted. Or they're going to have to give like someone else someone really interesting. Like they'll have to give Jamie someone really interesting. Or, like, who's the guy that killed the dog?
Danny. I love Danny.
I love Danny. I love Danny to have someone really interesting. Yeah. I love Isaac to have someone really interesting.
Yeah.
I think they'll do, you know how, like, on, I don't know if you guys watch Sex Education, but, like, every season, they're able to give more characters more to do. They just, like, kind of expand who they're able to give time to. So I think that we will get more, like, I think Isaac, Danny... I think really like the Danish guy that's just or the Dutch guy that's really blunt.
Yeah, that's fun.
Okay, are we ready to talk about Ted and our hopes for Ted?
Yes.
Okay, who are, I think we can all just agree that there's like not really a real Ted Lasso, unless you guys know anyone that is like Ted Lasso in your real life. But with Morgan asked, like, who are the Teds that walk among us in terms of like who have handled relationships in this way? Because I feel like there are a lot of people out there that have, like, gone through big relationship. Like, obviously a lot of his trauma is from his dad's suicide. But I also think Teds are people, the way that he's texting Michelle when, like, after the article comes out about his panic attack, he still he's like, oh, why are you up so late? Like, late night or early morning? Like, I think Teds are guys that, like, really romanticize one thing and one person and have Ted's very hard time letting it go. Ted, what do you think Ted is?
Maybe a water sign.
Yeah, but Pisces.
I think a Pisces.
He's a Pisces, but like closer to the Aries down in there. He's not
like a
not
March.
The Aquarius.
He's
one.
A March Pisces.
I actually think Ted is very similar to my yoga crush, which is maybe why I had such a crush on the yoga crush.
Yeah, that might have influenced you.
Yeah, because it's like this like charming, endearing, friendly, friends with everyone. Could enter any room and have a good time.
Yeah.
And is like genuinely a happy person, but there's like some dark, unexamined things underneath.
Right. Yeah.
I wonder how much of Ted Lasso is Jason... said it earlier.
Sudeikis.
I nailed it.
You did it.
I know. Jason Sudeikis. I'm so bad at names. It's like iconic.
Yeah.
I wonder how much of that is about like his relationship
with his actual divorce.
His actual divorce with Olivia Wilde.
Yeah.
Well, I did read in an interview that he wrote the first season when he was still with Olivia Wilde.
They hadn't broken up yet.
No. Mm. When he wrote it. Wow. Yeah, and she was like very encouraging of the show.
Parts of it are, I'm like, I wonder.
But season two.
Yeah. Because it's the parts that, like, where it's like he feels the deep respect for the person who has his child and is taking care of his child. Yeah. And I'm like, you really love this person, but you're accepting you're not together. Those parts and those, like, monologues that I'm like, oh, I wonder like, where this comes into play. But, wow.
Hope they do have kids.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Do you guys feel like you could date a Ted?
No. Maybe. I don't think I'm ready for that.
In what way? Why?
Like, I guess Ted, where he is at the end of season two.
But, like, could you, do you understand why, Michelle? Like, I think some people could be like, how could this woman, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
I get it.
Yeah, I get it.
Why Michelle would be like, this is a lot for me.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Especially because nobody knows better than the person that's married to that you're not dealing with your trauma.
Yes.
That being said, when it does come out, when the panic attack does come out and she doesn't really, like, follow up via text, I'm kind of like, I don't know. I'm of two minds. Because first of all, I was like, that's a little shitty of you, like, just to only say that. But I'm also like, you are creating your own boundaries.
Yeah,
it's not your problem. You're creating your distance. Like, I get it. But
isn't her story.
It's not her story. It is not about Michelle.
If she wanted to be a main character, she would have had her own TV show.
The Michelle spinoff.
Yeah. What really happened in America with her British child?
Yeah.
I love that kid is a British actor. And every time you get to him, I'm like, okay, this kid, like, they really need to give him some, like, American dialect. It's so funny to me. I think it would be hard to date a Ted Lasso because I feel like they'd be so optimistic all the time that, Ted, like, really puts a lot of his soul into his work, which was admiring, you know.
Yeah.
It's very admirable, but,
sexy.
Probably frustrating sometimes when you feel like you might be neglected to then see, which is probably what she was going through.
Yeah. But I don't know. I do believe that he was probably like loving and doting and all this stuff. I just think like the loving and the doting only goes so far if you know this person has some stuff to work through that they're not working through.
Yeah. And I feel like he has this way of being in his work where he could be like, I can take the losses. And I can roll with that. And I know that doesn't mean I'm a bad coach. And I know that doesn't mean I'm a bad person. Mm. But I feel like he has this inability to translate that into his relationships.
Oh, that's interesting. Right. Yeah.
Which I identify with. Because sometimes I feel like I can, like, in the career stuff, I'm like, it's just not the right timing. I can, like, justify it in a way.
Right.
But then I'll have this, like, insecurity in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many parts of you that I see that are confident,
right.
But in this one, I'm seeing, like, this, like, romantic insecurity.
Yeah.
And, like, I identify with that. I don't know if I could date that.
Yeah.
I mean, she says in the first season, what is their code word that they say? Something.
Oklahoma.
Yeah, Oklahoma. Something. And she's like, I'm trying. I'm really trying. And I'm like, I feel like she really is like, you are such a good guy. I want to be in love with you, but there is just something in me
that I can't do it
that
anymore.
I can't do it anymore because it's just not it.
Yeah.
Which I have to respect.
And I also wonder, like, if it's one of those things that could be too much of the same. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think that's why Ted works really well on Rebecca. I'm not saying necessarily for Rebecca, but, like, for Michelle, and you're like, I'm actually pretty, like, I'm positive enough. I've got my own, like, self-soothing things. Like, I don't necessarily need your constant positivity to, like, quote, fix me.
Right.
Maybe it doesn't work as well as we do see it work with Rebecca.
Right.
And I think about what's kind of, like, now start to talk about the sassy situation. Of, like, there's a point where Rebecca's like, did he do that? And she goes, the entire time. And she, like, when she talks about them having sex, she's like, it's so easy to please. It was amazing. But I can see him not being very, like, grounded in romantic situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the thing about goofy guys. Sometimes you're like, are you going to be able to, like, really drop in and, like, be sexy and be romantic? And, like, and then when they do, it's, like, amazing because you're like, what a clean reversal. But, like,
and I think he does have it in him.
But we know, I actually like that they included that detail from Sassy.
Because
we're like, oh, we know right now he's not.
Yeah.
Right. There was a moment when I was like, do not make him fall in love with a therapist.
I know.
Which I just think those relationships are so intimate that there's always a, like, weird, like, type of love you have for a therapist.
Right.
I thought for a split second, was going
to
be that.
At the
so
bar.
They told the line, mm-hmm. and I think they did it well, because I do think those are just like, yeah, they're really intimate relationships. Mm-hmm.
And she affected him, and he affected her, right. and she admits that. I also think their relationship was so special outside of the therapy thing.
Yeah.
That, like...
I'm glad they did not do that.
Because then I think it would have also undermined his progress in some
ways. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then that's not a good argument for the masses. And we're trying to get the masses to therapy.
Exactly.
Yeah. But choose a therapist you could never fall in love with. Just choose someone you can't meet. Just do it on the phone.
Honestly.
My therapist is over the phone.
I will never meet them. My therapist doesn't live in the state.
Mine doesn't either. Mine lives in Tennessee.
Wow. Mine lives in Michigan.
My name is Brandy, if you're listening. Hey, Brandy. Shout out to Brandy.
Shout out to Gata.
Jessica.
Okay. I love some time here for just like stray thoughts we had about other couples, other relationships. Do we want to talk about Beard and Jane?
Like, I think it's fun when a show chooses to do a whole episode on a character.
Yeah.
I just think that what is so funny about Beard is that, like, he's so fun to watch is, like, he's so quiet, mm-hmm. and he just, like, burps little things of wisdom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then
yeah.
to see, like, all of him made me be like, oh, this is, like, less cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what happened with that in the Christmas episode? Is that they were contracted for 10 episodes, and then Apple threw them to 12.
Oh.
And so that's why
that makes so much sense. It was thrown in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it felt like it was written so quickly. Like,
and
the jokes
for me specifically.
Okay, yeah. I was like, the jokes in here feel like they were like, we have to watch, like, who here has watched the most Christmas movies? And they were like, me.
They were like,
you're writing it.
Yeah, it felt like when like a Christmas special that's like separate from the season.
I would agree. It felt completely separate from the story.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I had a great time.
Yeah,
I love Christmas.
Fun.
Yeah,
it's indulgent, and I love that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's why those two episodes
that makes so much sense.
Yeah, I read that today. I just think that episode is because like I kind of do like the joke, like I like it as a joke, and I just like it as like a real thing of like a real conversation of the friend that's on again, off again, mm-hmm. and I think we all generally know that we all have that friend.
And if you haven't been, you're going to be soon.
You're
going to
be a Beard and Jane at least once in your life, and like.
And if not, then you haven't lived.
You're not living your best beard life.
Then divorce him.
Horticulture, baby.
And then marry him. And then divorce him. And then you'll have done it.
My only thing is, in his solo episode, he does have a lot of like inner thoughts about like really loving her and her making him so much better, but I was like, was that like a moment of your mental health and like putting this on her unfairly? Was that like a dream sequence thing, or is that how you actually feel?
I don't know, it's
confusing.
It feels like their relationship feels like, you know, when someone is dating someone and they're not dating someone for the other person, they're dating someone for themselves.
Yeah.
It feels that way because when they are playing chess in their mind at that wherever the hell they're at,
yeah,
like back. They're, like, somewhere random, like, in a bar while everything else is happening. And then, like, right at the last move, he's like, oh, gotta go. Because that whole thing was just, that whole flirtation was just for him. Like, the guy who read poetry to me. Like, when I realized he was not reading poetry to me, he just wanted to express himself.
Yeah.
I was like, this wasn't for me, this was for you.
Yeah, to be the guy that reads poetry.
Yeah. I feel like that's kind of where I feel like he hasn't found... I don't think Jane is that person, but it could be.
No, I think they'll play out the joke of Beard and Jane for a bit longer, and then I honestly hope they just throw us somebody, like, amazing in, like, season 4 that's just, like, Beard's perfect match.
Right, when you...
Yes.
Like, when they bring in that, like, weird... What's that one actress's name who has the weirdest fucking voice in the world? She, is in Bob's Burgers. She plays the character with the ears, and she's in Last Man.
Oh, Kristen Schaal.
Yes, yeah, Kristen Schaal. It's like a Kristen Schaal type.
Oh my god. Yeah.
And she's like,
quirky little.
Yeah.
Someone like him.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but like a little more like talkative.
Yeah, exactly. Like like he's like the introverted version.
Yes.
Like, if they were drugs, he'd be Kay and she'd be Molly.
Thank you for bringing that into
I don't do either of them. They don't work on me. Just so you know.
Well, ketamine is having a moment.
It really
talked
is.
About,
I heard a guy, this is off topic, but very funny, is this guy goes to my friend and was like, oh, do you want some K? I get it. It's great stuff. I get it straight from the vet.
Incredible. Right? Wow, that's so good.
You gotta get it there these days.
That's right. Yeah.
You gotta get the pure stuff.
I also feel like, okay, just, like, one more thing about them. I feel like they don't know, it's, like, unclear how they want us to feel about them.
Yeah.
Because it felt very clear, and I love the episode where they were, like, should we tell him, or do we, like, not? Do we let him figure it out? Like, that was a great episode.
And you know what the moral was? Metal.
Yeah, yeah, it was.
Yeah, Higgins.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sweet Higgins.
Love him. I love that they kind of have that relationship as a foil, his marriage to everything.
Yeah.
I like when they do
have an example of
yeah,
just a happy marriage.
Happy marriage and like not complicated. Like
Christmas
not
Carol,
perfect.
He's kind of, you know, what's his face? With the dad.
Kermit the Frog?
Yeah, but what's the character's
Bob
name?
Bob Cratchit.
Bob Cratchit, that's it. Yeah, he Seabass? Kind of is that.
Yeah. Yeah, Higgins is kind of Bob Cratchit.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Any hopes for anyone else's romantic futures? Do we think we're going to, like... Oh, we actually kind of talked about some of the other boys.
I was like, okay, season one went by, and then before I started season two, my friend and I were like, do you think one of those characters is going to be gay? We were like, there's got to be a gay character. And then in the beginning of season two, when they're talking about Banter, the dating app, that one guy is like, oh, it's kind of like Grindr.
Yeah.
And
oh,
was
yeah.
Like, huh?
And I oh, was Colin?
Like, yeah, and I was like, oh, they're going to make that guy, like, the gay guy. And then they didn't do anything. But I feel like...
They could give him, yeah.
They might, like, have someone on a, like, opposing team or something, or...
Well, especially because there was that whole... The Colin-Nate conflict, to me, came out of nowhere, where Nate was
a
just...
lot of the Nate stuff came out of nowhere to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, let's just give a minute, I guess, to, like, just talk about that, even though it has nothing to do with romance. But just, like, the way that Nate really came for Colin... I just think they beefed up Colin a bit this season in a way, to me, feels like... getting our palettes ready for a bit more Colin in season three. And yes, it would be ridiculous if there were no gay characters in this show.
I was like, it would be kind of crazy. I mean, they're hitting a lot of points in, like, politics that happens now.
Right.
And a lot, I mean, like, they haven't hit, like, an openly gay athlete.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I'm curious about.
Yeah. And I'm sure they will. And,
I'm sure they will.
And I'm sure they'll handle it very well.
I'm sure it'd be really funny.
That's the
thing
to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, the Nate stuff, I mean... Whatever, they had to give us a villain. Like, they had, like,
felt... I was so mad at him.
I was so... I mean, they just
so
made him,
mad
like,
at
despicable.
Him. Yeah.
I cannot believe that he went and he's going to go coach for what's-his-face.
Yeah. Well, and just, like, I...
You can't trust anyone, not even the good ones.
And, like, Ted's won so many people back, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, like, so that's... I didn't really think it was going to be that bad.
Yeah.
And, this is my only, like, real, like, criticism of the show is, like, it's, like, a whole thing of, like, white hair being this, like, so many evil characters have white hair or whatever. But, like, Nate was supposed to be, like, what, like, 24?
Oh, is that the last shot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's, like, in, like, a full head of white hair. And I was, like, I think this man is supposed to be, like, 25 years old.
Yeah, I've been very confused by the graying over season two.
Right.
I was like, am I going crazy? Or, like, is her a different color?
It's just, like, a weird out of, like, the show is not magical realism at all. It just feels like a very weird, almost, like, sci-fi thing happening to Nate.
Well, it's weird because it's, like, season one was, like, clearly filmed in the spring summer, so everyone had, like, no clothes on. And then season two, everyone had clothes on.
Yeah.
And everyone was, like, not looking good. And they also, like, I feel like the color
COVID
corrector was, like, we're going to color the first season, like, warm.
Yeah.
And everyone's going to be, like, really rosy and warm. And season two, we're going to, like, gray it out and add blues in. Because, like, some people's skin tones, like, look gross. I'm like,
ooh. What happened to you?
Yeah. I was like, this is the off season. I get it. But.
Yeah. It would make sense that, like, somebody is going to consider Ted stuff bullshit. I think it's an interesting perspective to show, and that, like, he can't win everybody back, and, like, who knows what will happen. I'm, like, pretty sure he will win Nate back. But it just, like, was really upsetting to watch, which, and I wonder if that's, like, why some people are like, I don't like season two as much. And I was like, yeah, because in season two, they had to challenge these characters.
Right.
They had to grow these characters.
Yeah. It's that season two hump.
But, yeah.
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 Because, like, what if they were, if they kept doing the same thing and they never addressed these?
People would also complain about that.
Yeah.
Because they never addressed, like, why they never do any of, like, the kneeling or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people would probably would have talked about it.
Yeah. You have to keep challenging the characters. You have to keep growing the show. And, like, season one is so charming because we're being introduced to characters, like,
in the world.
In the world. Yeah. And, like, every single episode, it's like, testing who they are, and they're like, oh, even in this circumstance, he's still gonna be who he is, and you're still gonna believe in him, and that's so, like, endearing and charming week after week. So, like, yeah, season two, we had to, like, put these characters through it a little bit more.
I think Jamie will find someone.
Yeah, I would love that. Yeah,
I love that he was on, like, their Love Island.
Oh my
god.
Yeah.
Jamie's
gross.
And then he
has that stupid shaved thing on his eyebrows.
I know.
Like, that is
stupid
so
little,
funny.
His little headband.
Yeah.
So funny.
You're a Jamie person, aren't you?
Jamie's growth is very hot.
Yeah, I was like, Kat fucking loves Jamie. I just know it.
I didn't in season one, but season two, watching him turn around and, like,
Scorpio.
Also his daddy issues, I was like,
I bet
my
you
god.
He's a Sagittarius.
Jamie is.
Also, just that moment where Roy and Jamie, where Roy kind of like hits Jamie and he's like, yeah, he's like, why did you do that? So I could do this. And they hug. Oh. And this was so sweet. This show makes me cry like every episode, but it's like not a like This Is Us cry, which is so nice.
Yeah.
Because I'm not like, the world's a fucked up place.
Yeah. I'm like, why? Yeah,
I'll go from like crying and then like laughing out loud.
Yeah,
I'm laughing out loud alone. And just like
it's just a heart show.
And just like offhand things where he's like, "You live, you learn. Thank you, Alanis." And I was just like, "I know."
Also, the moment that killed me in the finale was where he was like, "Maybe I'll shave my mustache." He goes, "Then I'd look like the guy from The Hangover."
Oh,
it's so meta. Yeah. I love a meta joke.
I love when they get a little insidery. Like they have a whole bit about Ted Danson in like one of the episodes, and I was like, "Oh man." Like, and I was like, oh, this is just comedy writers in a room having a good time. Maybe that's indulgent for some people, but I enjoy it. We're going to go to our last little segment, which is All Aboard, which is the moment. That's a train thing, isn't it?
No, I think people say it on boats, too.
Okay, great.
Yeah, perfect. Before they leave the dock.
Yeah, before they leave the dock. So this is the moment you get on board with the ship.
As long as you don't go... Well,
maybe
they do that on boats, too.
Tugboat.
Right. Yeah.
I just really
see... Iceberg!
We're clearly, like, land people.
Right. Though we are, ironically, water signs.
Yes. We clearly know more about land.
Okay, so this is the moment we got on board with the ship, any of the ships. So what is y'all's favorite romantic moment of the show? Any of the relationships, what's your favorite moment?
Okay, well, the press room, obviously.
Let's talk about the press room.
The press room is a great, like, TV writing scene. So good.
Because it's, like, simultaneously, it's very cute and it's a gimmick, but it's also them, like, addressing real things.
Yeah, and it's addressing real things, but there's movement. So it's not, like, two people.
It's dynamic.
Yeah, they're not standing here or whatever. It's a lot of sexual tension.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if that happened in real life.
I'd never stop talking about it.
Yeah, I feel like, absolutely.
I would literally burst.
I probably would never pursue that person just so I could cherish that moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's like a peak.
Yeah, I'd be like, and that's where we ended.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, you haven't talked to them in how long?
How,
like,
could I?
You're like, I ran away.
I can't ruin it. I blocked him. It was perfect. I loved it. He's the one, but I can't have him.
But I just love how he's like, you with the... eyes. And she's called, like, Independent Magazine, and then she's like, Independent Online Blog. It's just so good. Where she's like, where would you take me on this hypothetical date? Like, I just love, again,
it's such a good game.
It's such a good game, but I'm just like, but it's not. They're also like, but we're playing a game because
it's like
flirting.
The writer's game.
But yeah. As a writing scene, it's like a good game, but it's also them, like, as two characters being like, I'm not going to bullshit you anymore. And it's like, where are you taking me on this date?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's just. So good, and like, I think it's a great example of how you can, like, still be flirty and fun and directly communicate.
Also, from the finale, when she gets the job, and he's like, just like watching a man get so excited for a woman sharing, like, big career news was, like, so hot to me.
Yeah.
Where he was just genuinely, like, so pumped for her. And he's like, we're doing the champagne.
Yeah.
Like, this is it.
Oh, he picks her up.
And then they're both so turned on at each other's, like, excitement for the other person that they fuck.
Yeah.
Like, are you kidding me? That's incredible. Let's celebrate you. We're, like, our passion comes out of, like, celebrating each other's wins.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So hot.
I mean, we already spoke to, like, the moment for the fundraiser and the him going down on her. So I think the only thing that we didn't, like, touch on that I also love is when he makes her the bath.
Yeah.
Which is, again, like... Because I love...
He took a note.
Listen, it's okay to have a Roy moment and be like, fuck! When you realize that you're like, I don't want to do this, or I fucked this up. And it's like, okay to have that moment. Mm-hmm. And then you go and you fucking fix it. And you take the note.
Yep.
And he did it. And I was like, there was like one moment where he like makes this bath. And he like, oh, first of all, just like undresses her. And it's just like so hot. And then like puts her in the bath. And for a moment I was like... Oh, are you gonna make this about you? Like, are you gonna ask?
Right.
And then he doesn't. He's like, you're not gonna see me for 3 hours. And just like goes away and is able to not make it about him and doesn't like ask for all of this praise.
Or like take it personally that she wanted space because.
Which is, again, why I think, like, why if they break them up, I'm kind of just like, I just don't feel like it's justified.
Like, who else are you going to introduce to them that is better? Yeah.
Right, and, like, what a shitty thing for us as the audience if we see a couple that can work through all these hurdles and they still don't get to end up to it with each other.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't believe that, like, I was like, maybe they're trying to prove with this, like, Jamie thing and him with the teacher that their, like, love for each other is fading, but then it's clearly not.
Right.
Then the it's the job. Yeah.
It's just getting past that, like,
honeymoon phase. Yes. And now we're working on, like, real
partnership.
Exactly. Yes. And I think that's what maybe this next season will be.
Yeah.
So we're definitely all on board for the SS Roy Keeley.
Yes.
Yeah.
Really? Really? We're really
coin.
Into it. Coin. Yeah. All right. Well, I think we did it.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
We're off the pitch. No British accents. We all did a pretty good job, but no British accents this whole episode.
I'm surprised.
And no Kansas accents, and I'm very proud of all of us.
Good job, team.
Yeah. Would you two like to share where people can find you online and if you have any upcoming events to promote?
Sure.
That's like, I'm always ready.
Yeah.
At Kat Belinfante on Instagram and Twitter. I do a monthly comedy show at The Stand called Hump Day Treat. The next one is before this episode will come out. And maybe Brett Goldstein is on it.
Yeah.
So come to the following, which will probably be the second Wednesday in November at 7 p.m. But follow me and I'll post about it.
Excellent.
Amazing. You can follow me at JAYPAEPAE, JPAYPAY. I don't have any live events for anyone to attend, but stay tuned. I've been
working on something really big. I can't talk about it yet.
There are NDAs involved.
You can follow me and I probably won't post about it. But maybe I will when it happens. Cool.
Everybody, you can find.
Shout out to my mom. Hi, mom.
Did your mom listen?
No, but I'm but one of these. Just in case.
I was like, that's so nice.
And I'm doing an ear tug for the special person who knows I'm doing it for them. Exactly. There's nobody.
All right, you can find the podcast at Talking Ship a Podcast on Instagram and TikTok. You can find me at Only Megan Fitz, and we're here every Thursday talking ship about relationships from TV. Bye!
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.